I'm Anna Webb. Welcome to A Dog's Life. Hey, Mr. Binks, you know I always say that a house is not a home without a dog. But you know, some dogs don't have a home and they sleep with their rough sleepers on the pavement. And these rough sleepers will give up the opportunity of a roof over their head because most of the time, these hostels are not dog friendly. We're about to jump on Zoom to talk to Jade Statt, the co-founder of an amazing award-winning charity called Street Vet that's just launched the first accreditation scheme for such hostels to become pet friendly. Hello, Jade.
Hi, Anna. How are you doing?
Really well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for joining me on A Dog's Life to talk about what really is quite a landmark event with your accreditation scheme being launched for hostels to be dog friendly.
Yeah, it was quite a momentous one for us. It wasn't something, well, I'd always wanted to do something to try and encourage hostels to accept dogs, but I think it was kind of one of those, aligning of stars, I suppose. I just happened to see the competition for Purina, which was for a concept that encouraged the human-animal bond. And I saw it on a Friday and the deadline was on a Monday. Oh. And I just thought, you know what, like, I can't not, you know, we had this idea in our head about doing it, but it kind of almost just kind of, yeah, catalyst forward to actually make it happen. And then it was lockdown and yeah, we just kind of worked on that in the background. So it was quite a big project that we had to do pitches and videos and interviews and all sorts. It was quite out of my comfort zone, to be honest.
What was that to enter? What a competition, yeah, offered by Purina to help? What innovative ideas or
exactly.
What was it?
Exactly. They basically run something, it's called the Better with Pets Prize, and I'd never heard of it before, and I think it's been running for quite a few years, and it's exactly that. It's a global competition, so they're asking for people that have ideas that essentially, you know, encourage and promote the human-animal bond. And some of the ideas in this competition were just amazing. Like, there was, you know, porthouse dogs and, you know, dogs helping in prisons. And it was all sorts of sort of really, really inspirational people doing really cool stuff all over the place. So, yeah, we were very, very lucky to win the money. So it was then that we were kind of sort of thrust forward and actually what became and what was an idea that we knew needed to happen became something that actually, yeah, we're going to get on and do it. So
it's amazing. It really is amazing because what strikes me, you know, Jade, with the homeless community, because that's what Street Vet's all about, isn't it? Helping the homeless community with their dogs. And of course, really, I feel the rough sleepers totally represent, you know, what man's best friend really means, that they'd rather sleep on a pavement than give up their dog to receive some social housing, right? I mean, that says it all. And why these dogs are, from that bond point of view, their lifeline, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was something that, you know, when I looked at Street Vet at its inception, to me, I didn't know any of these things. I didn't, you know, I saw a person, I saw their dog, and I thought, you know, I can help as a vet and provide medication that way. But I really was quite naive as to what it meant in terms of challenges and barriers for homeless pet owners to access things. I had no idea. You know, it doesn't cross your mind. Like, sometimes they can't go into a soup kitchen because they've got the dog. Sometimes, you know, they can't go to hospital. And obviously the big one was the fact that only 10% of hostels in the UK are pet friendly. And, you know, this term, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but being labelled voluntarily homeless was something. I couldn't believe it when our clients started sort of explaining that to me.
I mean, that's kind of almost so derogatory, isn't it? You know, that labelling by people that really obviously have no idea. And yes, so rough sleepers can get black marks, really, isn't it? That, well, they've turned down housing before, you know, so they won't be offered it again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, Yeah, it really kind of resonated with all the volunteers, and we did a survey of our volunteers to sort of ask them what they found most challenging about volunteering for Street Vet, and resoundingly, that feeling of not being able to do more, and you know, you do the vet bit, but then what? You leave people where you found them, and I guess it was something, you know, the hostel project or the concept of trying to help hostels and understand why they were saying no and what could we do to help was something I guess was very much fueled by, you know, the volunteers as well wanting to do more than just do the vet stuff, which is great, you know.
Totally brilliant. So explain a bit more then how the accreditation will work. And I think you've got your first, you know, prize hostel that's run by Sean Fitzgerald at the Elms.
Yeah, that's right.
That has come on board, right? So how is it all going to work? Because I guess, you know, maybe some staff in these hostels, for no fault of their own, you know, may not be exactly super dog friendly, may not have grown up with a dog, maybe a bit afraid of dogs.
Yeah.
So how is it going to work?
The plan in when it's not COVID will be, you know, ideally what we would do is do a visit to the hostel. So if a hostel approaches us and wants to become accredited, then we would do a visit to the hostel and sort of go round it with them and talk about it. Because the thing about being an accredited Street Vet hostel is that not every hostel, you know, one hostel might be acceptable in their particular premises to have two dogs, whereas another hostel, you know, they may be able to accommodate more dogs. And it's for them to understand what the health and safety aspects are, but also, you know, look at the space and where dogs should go, where dogs maybe should be restricted from. And there's a lot of sort of components to think about. And I think that from the chatting to numerous hostels over the years that we've been involved with Street Vet, there's been a number of things that have kept coming up. One of them is absolutely what you just said, Anna, is that some people are frightened. You know, they don't feel comfortable around dogs, and they've taken this job, you know, and working in quite complex and challenging circumstances anyway, you know, with people with that are vulnerable and have high needs, and then they get a dog sort of thrown into the mix as well. So I think that that's a big thing. I think also the other thing that came across was people worried about being responsible for a dog, where maybe, you know, they don't feel trained, or they don't feel that, you know, they would know what to do if something happened. So a big part of this accreditation scheme, so it's called there's a 10-point scheme, but ultimately the veterinary side we do anyway. So they get food delivered to the hostel every month. That's by Webox. We get a sort of starter pack, so a dog or a cat that comes from Ankle, so that's got like a cat scratch post and toys, or you know, dogs that they get beds and blankets and things like that.
It sounds great.
Thank you. Well, they've been amazing supporters, so they've been incredible. And then the veterinary stuff, they all get registered obviously with Street Vet, so they get their veterinary provision. Then each hostel would get a telemedicine platform. So because obviously all the Street Vet people are volunteers in terms of, you know, that are going to be coming to the hostel. So if they've got something that they feel can't wait, then they can do a telemedicine consult. And if it needs seeing, then we'll fund it to be seen. We do the boarding, but the main sort of part that's different, I guess, that we feel is gonna hopefully encourage people to get involved is we've created a Street Vet accredited hostel policy. So when we visited hostels, there's maybe, you know, the dogs are maybe not on the lead, or, you know, they've had a situation where an owner's collapsed and gone to hospital, and then they've just got the dog and they, you know, there's no provision. They've not sort of thought all these possible scenarios through.
Well, yeah, it's like the logistics, isn't it? And behaviour issues, particularly, you know, I might chip in, you know, if there'll be more than one dog in a building that maybe didn't get on with each other, which is quite a common issue, that people are on hand, yes, to help, you know, if their rough sleeper is ill or something, as you say. So will there be behavioural advice offered? Will behaviourists go in, offer hands-on, you know, post-COVID COVID advice, that type of thing?
So we've kind of, identified, two of the most common things that we suspect will be like dog-to-dog aggression, because a lot of our clients' dogs are amazing with people, but they're not that well socialized with other dogs. And the other is separation anxiety, because they've never not been with their owner. So if the owner, one of the purposes of, getting into a hostel room is that they can start to attend, skills labs and doing CVs and go to the doctor, so that, the dog can be left somewhere secure and safe.
Yes.
I think separation anxiety is also something that they would experience. So one of the things that, we don't provide routinely behavior advice. We provide sort of behavior aids. So I guess fireworks, thunder shirts and Adaptil and things like that. But I think that now that these owners are going to be in, an environment that is dog friendly and supportive, their environment's going to be more stable. So I think they're going to be in a better position to, maybe work on certain behaviours that would be more tricky to do if they were on the street.
Yeah. I mean, this, again, it could open such a lovely window to really actually help these people with their dogs even more. Yeah. And help them move on quite psychologically, really, from the pavement into a home. Because, even if you just move house with your own pet, it can be very disruptive. So I suppose, yes, to really bear in mind everything from the dog's perspective, Jade, really, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And another thing is, so we've done this sort of training for all the staff. So they've got, it's a 7 modules, and it goes through, why is it important for homeless people to have pets, right down to, dog body language and toxins, like things they shouldn't have access to. And we've got sort of educational material. But another thing that we did, and I kind of took inspiration from this from Battersea, but we've done like pet introduction posters, because I think what happens, certainly in the hostels I've been in, is that people are living there, but they don't really know anything about the dog that's there. They don't know its name. They also don't know, maybe, that they don't feel comfortable around men, or they're more comfortable, if you stroke their head and don't go near their back end, or all these kind of nuances, really. So we did these pet introduction posters that are to be filled in by the owners, and they put a photo of the dog on, and then or the cat, and then they write some information about that pet, so that, again, we're trying to bring the owners and the pets into more of like a community within the hostel.
Oh yeah, and that could so help everyone else in the hostel, and even some of the staff that might have been a bit hesitant, like, oh really, dogs? They might actually end up being, I love dogs, I can really, I get it now. And actually everyone's stress levels, can you imagine, in that building could drop, right, Jade? Yeah. Because just having a dog in a room does reduce everyone's stress.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. So I think it's kind of basically what we are trying to do is make it as easy as possible for hostels to decide to accept dogs. So we've kind of done, I hope, all the hard part of, doing the policies and the educational materials and everything else. So it's just a case of hopefully saying yes, and then we can work to do the training and get everyone in the hostel on board. Because it's like, up to, the figures are difficult to know, but up to 25% of those experiencing homelessness have pets. So that's a lot of people that, are not having the opportunity to access, an essential step that can get them, their lives back on track and get them,
Well, yeah, on the road to recovery, yes, I guess, and a happier life potentially with their dog. But so, when are you expecting this to begin at the Elms?
The Elms are, they are a hostel that StreetBet has worked with for a while, but they, in terms of the accreditation, they are now accredited. So they've got our policy in place, they've got all the educational materials up, all the dogs and they've got one cat, 5 dogs and 1 cat. All the intro posters are up, and we've got 17 members of their staff enrolled on the training course.
Fantastic. How exciting. So
yeah,
we've got lots of good news, hopefully, to feed back, you know, in the new year, which will, you know, make a change.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we're doing with the Elms is, you know, they're kind of our lighthouse hostel. So we want to learn from them, you know. So we're asking, once everything's, you know, been up and running for like four weeks, probably, we'll review in, you know, January and see, you know, if there's anything we need to tweak with the course, or anything they feel they need more help with, or, you know, basically get a bit of a feel. And then, yeah, we're training up volunteers who are going to be our kind of hostel liaison volunteers, and start going out to hostels and talking to them about the accreditation scheme, and see if we can get more engaged. I mean, since we launched it, we've had 22 hostels get in touch.
Fantastic. Oh, that's is that nationwide, Jade?
Yeah. It's very much, I mean, it makes sense that it's, a lot of them are from locations where we already exist. So they know StreetVet, they've been working with us, and, you know, obviously the volunteers have probably been telling them about it, but we have had some in from areas that we don't exist. Yeah, saying, okay, let's find out, you know, a bit more about this, really.
No, it's fantastic. But it's been in the news, hasn't it, lately?
Yeah.
Thanks to Andrew Rossendale MP, who did a podcast, actually, recently, about Jasmine's Law, which, of course, is all about banning all these no pet clauses, and for a pet to be in every home, but as an extension of that, of course, with rough sleepers as well, not to be rejected. So in a way, it's quite timely. I know you applied for this, well, months ago, but it's kind of a positive energy almost, that Jasmine's Law has been, you know, now announced as potential legislation as a private member's bill. And not only that, though, but it's the right time, isn't it, Jade, because it's now pretty chilly out there.
Absolutely. And I think that, yeah, I think if we can look at COVID and look at it in like there being like a positive, I've genuinely seen, I think, a shift in people's mindset towards just how important their pets are, because they've been put in situations where they're not used to being, you know, so ultimately, you know, in isolation, and the only thing that they maybe have to rely on has been their pet. And I think that, you know, Jasmine's Laws come at that time when people are more acknowledging of their pets in their life, and obviously us, you know, starting the hostel scheme. But I just feel like, yeah, there's a bit of a ripple effect going on at the moment of positive sort of acknowledgement of the human animal bond and movement towards, you know, making a change. So yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think it's been a coming together of like-minded people all kind of trying to do something in a space, and I think it's kind of worked really well.
Yeah, it has. No, I think Jasmine's Law is really massive.
Yeah,
you know, so many lockdown pups, you know, Jasmine will also be kind of finding themselves homeless, I think, because of private landlords that say no to pets. And possibly a lot of people haven't thought things through, you know, with some of these pups, the puppy love boom, as I call it, you know. So it's almost the reverse. We're going to find a lot of dogs without a home as well. So the energy is definitely, you know, cyclical. But Jade, you know, you've been a vet now for some time, and I'm fascinated to know why you sort of gave up in practice, perhaps, to literally go onto the street. Was there one dog, one case that tipped you over the edge?
I get it was more, I think, what was going on in my own life at the time. So I had a chocolate Labrador called Oakley, and my first boss, when I qualified as a vet, actually bought him for me. So he was with me like my entire sort of veterinary career. And he was diagnosed with cancer, and he had helped me through, as we all know, dogs are awesome. And so yeah, he'd helped me through some pretty tricky times. So I do suffer with depression, and yeah, he was just, yeah, my guide dog for depression was one of the things I'd like to say about him. But yeah, so he was diagnosed with cancer, and I guess it was just in my mind that night. And then I met a homeless man with his dog, and it was in August, I think, 2016. And I was just talking to him, and it wasn't a big deal what was wrong with the dog. The dog just had some skin problems. But it was more that sort of parallel between what I was going through and all the resources that I had at my fingertips being a vet and all the people that I could speak to and ask for advice on what Oakley was going through. And yet this guy, you know, was experiencing, you know, yes, it wasn't as big a consideration, but to him it felt like it because he did not know what to do. And I just sort of, yeah, it was just that moment. I was just like, what would I have done if that was Oakley? And I just walked away thinking, I really wish I had something in my bag because I could have just, you know, relieved that situation. And I guess I just recognized in him and the relationship that he had with his dog, you know, how immense it must be, like how, you know, for his mental health and everything that he was experiencing to have that dog and to know that he could keep that dog well. So yeah, it was, yeah, kind of a bit of a parallel as to wondering what I would do in that same situation and just feeling like I needed to do something to help.
It's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, really, dogs do, through their humility and everything they give us, you know, they show us pure kindness, don't they, really, Jade? And you know, compassion, you know, and that dog also that you met probably really wanted to be well and strong and not itchy, you know, for the owner, because he'd know that his owner was having some difficulties and that they were basically best friends. And of course, yes, it's the same for everyone with their dog. It's just that obviously rough sleepers give up the roof over their head, but oh, Jade, yeah, gosh, bless Oakley. I know about Oakley, but you know, he's around, and that energy and that what he taught you really, I think is wonderful that, you know, you've turned it into street vet. But you've got a dog as now, haven't you? I think you're husky.
I have two dogs. I've got a newer addition. I've got my Siberian husky in Oakle, but I've got a, not really quite sure what he is, Anna, to be honest. He's a Belgian Malinois cross.
Oh, wow.
And he was actually owned by one of my street vet clients. And he was, he was hit by a car, broke both his back legs and his pelvis. And the owners were amazing. It was pre-street vet. They didn't know who we were, and they did a crowdfunding to get him looked after. And then, we ended up getting involved with his care, I guess, for a couple of years, really, because he broke his pelvis, broke both his back legs. So he had really high requirements. So he had to have hydro and physio, and they were really, really committed. And I just got to know him. I just adored him. And then, their circumstances changed, I guess, in a positive way. They got a boat. The owner just contacted me and said, he's really miserable. He doesn't really like being on the boat, but more importantly, because of the way they had to live now, obviously moving around a lot, he wasn't getting the consistency of the hydrotherapy and the kind of rehabilitation that he was needing. So he
ended
came
up
to live with me.
Yes, gosh. Well, he's certainly landed on his feet. And is he doing all right now? You've seen progress.
He just had some physio yesterday. Him and my husky just literally they have to be touching at all times. They're so cute. They love each other. And he's obviously got some hang-ups because he's had a very varied life. I mean, when I first met him, he was living in the woods, and then he was living in a room, and then he was in a caravan, and then he was on a boat.
He's been well socialized to different environments.
He has indeed. But he's got a lovely soul and a really lovely energy.
It's so brilliant to rehome and rehab. You know, I know with A Dog's Life's little co-host, Mr. Binks, who I think, you've met Mr.
Binks.
Yes. That was one of his first celebrity events when we moved back to London, actually. And it's really great. It's such a rewarding thing to do. And so urge all listeners thinking about taking on a dog in 2021 to look to your local rescue shelter. Would you agree, Jade?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, just with what you were talking about as well, the absolute sad sort of exploitation, I think, of what's been going on, like people really wanting, you know, feeling that they want a dog. And then obviously the prices and what's been happening with that is has been pretty extreme. And like dogs being like kidnapped and like, you know what I mean? It's just been crazy.
It has gone. I agree. It's gone unprecedented, you know. Puppies big, you know, 180% up on this time last year, you know, crazy statistics. And so yes, I think there will be a lot of casualties from it, unfortunately, for dogs. But I really hope that there have been some successes. And I also hope for those people, don't you, Jade, that maybe, you know, did a 9 to 5 now, maybe are working from home, had to work through lockdown with their dog who usually never saw them all day. You know, I can see how so many behavioral problems occurred just because of that.
Yeah.
People who just use dog walkers all the time, then suddenly, you know, crumbs, I've got to walk my own dog. How do you do that? You know, so I hope there've been some silver linings to this year and that some people have actually got closer to their dog and thought, do you know what, I love walking my own dog.
Yeah. You know, I think that is. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that has absolutely happened. And I think the way that we work is going to change, obviously, going forward. Like, people are going to work. You know, there's not going to be, there's acknowledgement that people can be productive from home and you maybe don't need to go in, you know, to the office the whole time. And I think people will, there will be some restructuring that will happen outside of this as well.
And then dogs can help punctuate the day. I mean, I've worked from home because I've wanted to stay with my dog since 1999. So being freelance, yes, through the highs and the lows, simply. So absolutely, you know, because, you know, in 2002, there were no dog friendly offices. So it wouldn't have, and there were no dog sitters. Not that I would necessarily opt to use one. So working from home had to happen. So really, you know, it was my determination to stay with my dog created everything. But yes, and dogs help you, you know, be more productive. There's tons of research on that, you know, because you've got to take regular breaks, you know, you've got a natural de-stressor, go and play a game of tug with your dog, and then you automatically feel in a brilliant mood afterwards. And it actually helps you be more creative because you relax your mind to be in the moment. So I think dogs, you know, they're definitely good for us. And so, yeah, no, Jade, well, look, I think this is so commendable. Please, will you come back and give us an update on how it's all going at the Elms? It sounds a bit like I'm sure you are talking about this. You could do a TV series about this.
I think there's definitely things to be said about the human-animal bond and in many different ways. And yeah, I think that the right TV show maybe will be made one day. But I think in terms of the Elms, I'd absolutely love to. We've got one of our residents there with her dog. She's got a beautiful Sharpie called Bluebell. I know she'd probably be delighted to talk to you as well. She's a lovely lady.
Oh, that sounds super. I love Sharpays as well. So that would be great. Now, we'd love to do that, Jade. But thank you again. And I really hope, you know, the next few weeks in this very cold spell and over Christmas goes well for Street Vet. And how can people donate? Got to get that in.
I guess our Christmas campaign, we're just about to launch. We've got an e-card. We did it last year. And it was really successful in terms of people being environmentally conscious and sending sort of e-cards. So we're doing that. And then there's a Golden Giving platform and a Just Giving platform for people to donate for Christmas. So, it's all on the website. So streetvet.org.
Yeah, all of that will be in the show note. Perfect. Everyone will see that. So yes, please think of those less fortunate this Christmas is always the message, Jade. But thank you again. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That's our show, Mr. Binks. What did you think? Yes, I knew you'd think it was a very good idea, this new accreditation scheme from Street Vet. And I hope you all thought so too and enjoyed it. If you did, please subscribe. A Dog's Life is streaming on all podcast apps. Thanks also to my producer, Mike Hansen at Pod People Productions. Find out more about this very groovy firm at Pod People UK. For more about me, I'm at Anna Webb Dogs. And for more about Street Vet, all of their handles are in the show notes. What's that, Mr. Binks? Yes, you're right. We will be back in your feed next Sunday. So why don't you subscribe now so you never miss another show? Bye for now.